Hi everyone, and welcome to another JP show. I'm here on my own today, but I'm also going to bring you an interview that I had with someone called Ivan Sachs, who lives in Texas. Ivan Sachs is a business person, but has brought a lot of light into the world, both in his personal journey and of late in communal activities. He's the founder of a shul there in Texas, and I was inspired by his story. For the following reason, and I want to just give a little bit of an introduction. We know that today, actually, as I record this, is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. It's the beginning of the month of Kislev. The end of this month will be the festival of Hanukkah. And one of the lessons of Hanukkah is that we light every night, we light small candles. And we have the following saying, Ma'at or doche harbe min ha'choshech. A little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness, which means that even a little bit of light, a small flame, one individual, slowly growing each night, can generate tremendous light into the world. And I think nowadays, this lesson is so significant because we are living in a world with lots of darkness. Let's be honest, we have a lot of darkness. There's the rise of anti-Semitism, there's a war going on in Israel, there's just a lot of lack of clarity and distortion of values. We have a world with a lot of darkness. There's also a little bit of light, but there's a lot of light, but there's a lot of darkness. And sometimes we kind of get overwhelmed. We think that in order to fix things and to brighten up the world, it takes really communal people, it takes leaders, it takes revolutions, it takes huge activities and unbelievable monumental campaigns to take place to make a shift. Now, of course, these big things are important and they do make a shift, but we should never ever underestimate the power of one person just wanting to do something. The power of one person with their own faith, the power of one person with their own strength, and then the power of one person that just wants to do something to help. And our guest today, Ivan Sachs, is someone that just did that, just that. You'll hear his story, first his own personal story, just a little bit. And then also something that he's done since the beginning of the war. Again, it's just one of many things, but it's taken on a life of its own. And many people are interested in it, and it just comes from one person just wanting to help just a little. So I hope you enjoy it. Enjoy the interview, and hopefully we'll see you again in the next few weeks. I just should mention JP show will be a bit off and on because I'm traveling and then there's vacation time. So we will try to keep it going as much as possible, but there might be some breaks. So have a great week, everyone, and see you next time.
Okay, everyone, welcome to another JP show. Today we have something a bit different. I've got a very special guest with me, Ivan Sachs, a very special Jew from Texas, which has become involved in a very special project since October the 7th, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Before we do that, I just want to ask everyone to subscribe to the JP show wherever you listen to it, or and wherever applicable, leave a review. So welcome, Ivan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. I'm very happy to be with you as well since last seeing you in Australia a few years ago.
That's right, that's right. I think we bumped into each other in the street,
Yeah.
and had a bit of a chat. So I know that what's on your mind now is a very special project you're involved in since October the 7th, helping our brothers and sisters in Israel, helping the soldiers and so on. But I know that you went through a lot of other journeys prior to that. And maybe
Right.
just spend a few minutes telling us about yourself and about what you kind of went through. I know it's a much longer discussion, but at least briefly, just to give us a little bit of a flavor.
Okay, very good. So, Rabbi, as you, even though I'm in Texas, my accent doesn't speak to Texan. I haven't given up my South African accent
Not
yet.
at all.
And I've been in Texas for about 42 years. So, it's been quite a long time. And during my time, I decided to come to Texas because it was central to the United States in about 1980. And I've remained here all the time. I wasn't, my background is that I went to a school in Johannesburg, South Africa called Christian Brothers College, where I didn't get too much of my Yiddishkeit from, but I evolved while I was here. I connected with a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Roden. I got married, interestingly enough, in Johannesburg in 1982 with your, I would be your Rabbi Alloy,
My grandfather.
what, yeah, your
I didn't
grandfather,
know that.
a
Wow.
beautiful human being. And he married us in 1982. And when I was, I went into the stock brokerage business. Everything was great, and have three children, Baruch Hashem. And in 2006, I was always in good health and physically fit. I got in. Hashem gave me a nice little challenge, which was cancer for the first time. I then went into remission for about 5 years, got cancer again in 2011. And then in 2014, I got cancer again. This required me having a stem cell transplant. And you see Hashem every day in your life. By the way, my cancer experiences I view as very positive. I enjoyed them, if you can believe that. I connected to so many different levels of people and understanding, and I grew a lot from it. And the donor, I just want to jump in, the donor to my getting my stem cells was very difficult to find. We couldn't find anyone. And my daughter then went to a shul in New York, and she met an individual who said, yes, he knows someone from a gift of life. And he called me and he said, Ivan, I'll find you that person. And sure enough, in 3 days, he found me three different individuals. I chose a single lady living in New York, age 25. You're not allowed to know who your donor is. It's illegal and potentially you can go to jail. It's a federal offense. And so my daughter came to me in Dallas when I was getting my stem cell transplant. And my doctor warned me, do not find out who this person is. And I'm a very much a curious kind of person. And on November the 14th, 2014, my stem cells were sent to me. The donor gave her donation because the guy said to me, I'm watching her give her blood. Please God, it will be at you tomorrow. And the doctor came to me and he said, you know, unfortunately, I don't think we can use this young lady because she went to New York, she went to Mexico and she didn't take her malaria tablets. I said, that's my kind of person. I'll sign a waiver. So I signed a waiver and she became my donor. A week after I'd been given the stem cells, I get a friend of mine's daughter calls to say she thinks she knows who my donor is. Now, there's donors from all over the world, so the likelihood is very remote. But I did have two situations where he had emailed me to tell me the time she had given it. So I knew that. And I knew she was a naughty girl because she went to Mexico and she didn't take her malaria tablets. I told my daughter, get her on the phone. Dad, you crazy. You got to go to jail. I said, YOLO. I only live once. I want to say thank you. Got her on the phone. And sure enough, I spoke to her. Name is Greer Brody. And she lived 1.5 miles from my house in Dallas, Texas. She was a transplant to New York. And she became my donor. Her donation at Cornell University, where they took the blood from her, he said the typing of our bloods was so exacting that it possibly could have been that our grandparents were related. I had no any kind of rejection of her stem cells. And thank God, I was given like if I could get through 2 years, I could survive. And thank God it was 2014. We're now 2024. And so, it's the 24th now. So, literally, it's 10 years since that time. So, thank God I'm in good health. And that's my general background.
Wow.
If that's enough.
So, when you talk about just one more question before we get to what's happening now, when you talk about growing from your experiences, I'm assuming that means also growing with a deeper connection to God, to Torah, and so on.
Well, not even a question. Well, before that, I forgot, and probably it was pretty important. I did start our shul in Dallas, and I also started the yeshiva in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
So I did have a little bit of background on that, but I don't believe that my connection to Hashem could ever have been better improved than going through the journey of cancer. My whole motto is Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing but Hashem. And I live completely by that. And everything I do is for that. And I got a better understanding of it while I was going through the cancer. And so I would have people, I had a choice. We give talks all throughout the country and we've done it throughout the world. I actually did it in Australia, did it in South Africa, and did it in Canada and in the United States. The rabbi and the patient. Every appointment I went to, I took a rabbi with me.
So
So either the Rosh Hashanah from the yeshiva where came with me, or our rabbi came with me. Every appointment I took a rabbi, because quite honestly, doctors don't like to spend much time with you. And I knew that I was not a very good questioner, and the rabbis would always ask great questions, and the doctors would have to add in one or two rooms, one or two chairs. And so the length of my time with the doctors was a lot longer than if I'd gone on my own. So I definitely did
Interesting.
get connected to Hashem much better than ever before.
Amazing, amazing. So October 7th happens last year.
Right.
The world is thrown into turmoil. A lot of tragedy in Israel. The war, unfortunately, is still going on. We're praying and hoping for a decisive end to it very soon. But the kind of person you are, you obviously
Right.
feel that something needs to be done. So tell us the story.
So October 7th, we're all in shock. Everyone's sitting around listening to the news, and we're all highly, highly intensely involved with the news. And I decided there and then, not exactly about 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, to book a ticket to go to Israel. As Hashem would create the world, the neighbor behind me had been collecting items for Israel. So she had a large pile. She's actually got a transportation company. And so she collected a whole lot of stuff from Christians and Jews. And it was just a huge lot of stuff. So she said, "I don't know how I'm going to get it over." I said, "Okay, I'll subcontract. I will take this stuff over." So I filled up, I think, 17 different duffel bags of all the items. And I took a fellow by the name of Hillel Rodin with me, who's our rabbi's son. You're allowed to take 10 duffel bags per passenger. You have to obviously pay extra things. So I took 17 with him, and we took the 17 bags over. And in the bags were donations. Now, donations for what? Could have been blankets. It could have been plasters, first aid stuff, or whatever. It was a whole balagan. So when I arrive in Israel with these 17 bags, a friend of mine, who you may well know, Rabbi Morris Kaplan.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so he had made Aliyah to Israel, and
Yes, of
we were
course.
very good friends because we went to school in Kimberley in Christian Brothers College. So you
That's
see, you never know where your contacts come valuable. Morris said,
right.
"Well, you know, there is a place called Thank Israeli Soldiers, and I think they would take your stuff." So I said, "Well, that's very nice, but I have to give out this stuff because I got this stuff. I have to be able to give it out." So he makes the introduction. And sure enough, this has been a fantastic introduction. I've worked with him now since then till right now. We continue sending stuff to Thank Israeli Soldiers. The organization supplies soldiers exactly what they need. So they get requests from the commanders of different units throughout the country. And whatever their requests are, we take it on to fulfill it. And so we buy all our stuff. Obviously, we prefer to buy it in Israel, but all the stuff that they cannot buy in Israel, we buy here in the United States. I'm always looking for people traveling. People don't like to see me on the street. If they say they're going to Israel, I'll say, "Right, well, you're taking a duffel bag." And so we've sent well over 150 duffel bags to Israel with needed supplies for the Chayalim and for the. And so that's how we've got most of our stuff over. And the reason why I do it that way is I work with urgency. We have to get this stuff over. If the soldiers need it now, we have to get it now. So as soon as a person leaves for Israel, we send a duffel bag or five or six duffel bags with a person, and then we have someone meet them at the airport, take the delivery, take it to the warehouse of Thank Israeli Soldiers, and the items are then distributed to the soldiers or to the units that have made those requests. So that's how I've been very, very involved. I didn't know what was going to come out of it. So when we took the 13 bags, we sorted them all out. Some of the stuff was relevant. Most of it was relevant because it would either go to evacuees or to other people in Israel. But we then became very specific. The commanders would tell Thank Israeli Soldiers what they needed. We then get the request. We then fulfill that, and we get the request done probably within 48 hours.
So what type of things?
Okay, so that's a good question. So right now, you have to think about it, and this was the same time last year as what we are in right now. It's cold. So they need items that will cover their bodies. You need sleeping bags. That's one thing. But you don't want these heavy sleeping bags. You have to get compact sleeping bags. You get hot hands and hot body warmers as well. Then as well, you've got snow suits. You need snow suits for the soldiers that are in the Hamon. So we had to order snow suits. You had to get gloves. Now, just remember what people don't realize, or maybe some people do right now, the standing army of Israel is 150,000 men. But then we had 300,000 volunteers, or reservists, I should say. We're supplying mostly the reservists. The army is meant to take care of the soldiers, but there was not enough for the soldiers as well as for the reservists. So we fulfilled the needs of them. And as I said, sleeping bags, hot hands. There's somebody, oh, so we've got scopes as well that they need for their rifles. We've got lights that they need for their rifles. They also need lanterns for for when they're out in the Gaza, and now particularly in the north, it's very, very cold. But they did need the items for the north as well last year as well. So we're sending items out. We've got Leatherman scissors. Now, Leatherman scissors is a very important scissors. It's the best quality scissors in order to cut through uniforms, so that you can get through to the injury as quickly as possible. We send over tourniquets for the injuries as well to save lives. So we've sent all of that over the whole time, and it also goes according to season. So we came out of the summer. The summer they had the worst amount of mosquitoes, biting mosquitoes that would bite through the uniforms. So we sent through mosquito stuff for that. We've sent over uniforms as well. We've taken on units, the Shell Dug unit. We took on one, and we supplied them with their boots. We supplied them with their uniforms. Their uniforms weren't available right in the beginning. They had a backlog over here from a very qu high quality company. It was 4 month backlog, and we had to make the decision: are we going to wait 4 months? And we said, well, you know what? This war, we don't know when it's going to end. We're going to order it anyway. So we ordered all the uniforms. Thankfully, they came through in May. And you can see that that obviously was a good decision to go forward with that. And so we sent over in the beginning socks to go with the boots and all that basic stuff. But there's a lot of lights that they need for their rifles that we've had a large request for. So we're sending that right now.
Amazing. And which organization in Israel picks up on it? Like, who you say they pick it up at the airport or they distribute it? Who's that? Who's they?
So I've developed a very good relationship with the organization called Thank Israeli Soldiers, and they are operated with volunteers.
And they're
And the
Israeli. That's Israeli
volunteers over there
organization.
are that's organized as Thank Israeli Soldiers
And that's in Israel.
dot org. It's in Israel. Their warehouse is in Talpiot in Yerushalayim, and what happens in that warehouse, the supplies are there. You fill up the shelves. And then as the requests come in, boxes are filled for the different soldiers. And then the volunteers, myself and everybody else, takes those. We rent a car and we take the supplies out to the different units, wherever they are. So and then the soldiers come to the warehouse as well. Whatever is required, if they're on the battlefield and they can't get out, then we'll take the supplies to them to a point near to them that they can pick it up. In addition, obviously, everyone you've heard doing barbecues, so we've done barbecues for them as well. One of the more touching things with all the supplies that we send, and we send very specialized supplies that they love, but nothing touches the heart more than the children's letters that we've sent. I cannot tell you how many tears have come into the soldier's eye. The letter from the child is what counts. So when we first went, we took with 1,000 letters. Christians write, everybody writing letters. And I realized some touched more than others. And you had these adults writing these amazing letters. And if I had to be speaking to you in Greek, it wouldn't make no difference if I sent you a letter in Greek. So writing letters in English didn't take the thing. So what I did is I created a PDF with English on the one side, Hebrew on the other side, and then they drew the pictures. The pictures are the things that really count.
From
So
children.
we've evolved, we've become a little bit more understanding, yeah.
Well, that's very, very
So, but
beautiful.
letters are the most touching. And so I've been to visit soldiers in the hospitals as well and found out what their needs are. I mean, please go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's so I find it so inspiring. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. But also find inspiring just the whole idea. I mean, I think this is just such a Jewish idea where one person has an idea and you execute the idea, you put it into practice, and a whole thing comes to
So,
fruition, and
Rabbi,
it's
I don't know how it works. It's all from Hashem. It's all from Hashem. What did I have? I didn't have any. I had an idea. Go over. I've got about 600 people that participate in my chat, and those are the people that are sending me money and supplies. I've got my name. Someone called me Agent Ivan, so now I'm called Agent Ivan, and so my website is called agentivan.com. And over there, you've got the Amazon list of needs that we need, which is updated every week, as well as ways that people can donate to Agent Ivan through our synagogue, through our shul. And the way you get your supplies into Israel is not that simple. Our shul is the recipient of the items. And then Thank Israeli Soldiers is the charitable organization in Israel. So that's how we're able to fulfill that goal. And so we're looking at the injured soldiers as well, what they need. We can't do everything. We can't take on everything. And that's why the tapestry of everyone helping in any way, there's no competition in this. This is a thing where we all have to hold hands together. In fact,
all
I had a
small
collector
pieces in one
come.
big puzzle.
Exactly. It's just a tapestry, 100%. And the davening is what's so important. The tehillim that our wives and everyone are doing, it's all part of it.
Just the physical help, the
So it's
spiritual
all
help, it's all real and it's all helps. Well,
exactly.
that's beautiful and inspiring. And your
Yeah.
website again is Agent Ivan.
Dot com.
Agent, that's simple enough.
agentivan.com. Yeah.
AgentIvan.com,
And
that's beautiful. I'll check it out.
right.
Just thank you for sharing. And I think it's an inspiring story. And we can all learn. We can all help in our own way, as you say, whether
I'd
it's
like to share, if it's okay with you, a story that I thought was just illustrative of the. Obviously, there's so many stories, and we've all heard so many stories. And my biggest challenge is, how do you keep this alive, that people realize, the war has started for people yesterday or maybe last week? When a family loses a child or has an injured child, the war really has started then for them. They may have got through all of this in the beginning. It's been horrible, but then when you see the parents sitting next to their child in Tel HaShomer or in Shaaretz Tzedek in Yerushalayim, and you see these beautiful boys injured. And I've went to go and visit some soldiers in Shaaretz Tzedek, probably in December of last year. And I'm there, and I decided what I want. How can you help them? I mean, obviously, you can. I paint rocks. I paint a rock for them with Einod Milvador, whatever I can do to help. And then I decide to go and buy gift certificates for the bakery downstairs. And the bakery downstairs from Shaaretz Tzedek is called Angel Bakery. I couldn't have a better name. So I went downstairs to buy gift certificates for the family so that they, while they're watching their sons, they can go and buy some items. And so I said, could I please get 500 shekel gift certificate? And the guy says, no, you can't get that. So I said, and why can't I get it? He says, because I'm taking 100 shekels worth. The guy behind the counter said, I want to buy it. And so I'm waiting for the gift certificate. And at that time, it was Hanukkah. So they were selling the most wonderful donuts. So the guy, owner comes around, gives us donuts, and I take a donut, just fantastic. And then he says to me, no, you can't have that donut. So now the guy tells me I can't have $500 gift certificate because he's taking it. And he says, no, you can't have that donut. He says, you can't have that donut without a cup of coffee. What kind of coffee do you want? And so he gave me the coffee with the donut. And it made me realize, when we do a mitzvah, when we do something, like for example, when we're asking people to take duffel bags, they take in the duffel bag, but then there's also a cost of paying for the duffel bag. And so if you can give a person, like if the person can take the duffel bag and say, you know what, I want to pay the baggage fee for it. They don't have to. I'm happy to pay the baggage fee. I'm just so happy to get the bag over. But it's an idea of doing a mitzvah, but doing it in a beautiful way, not just giving me the donut. They want to give me the donut plus the coffee. And
Beautiful.
that kind of beauty was just like amazing. I had so many different various experiences, but that particular one stood out for me in a big way.
That is very beautiful. That's a great way to end. And I just want to wish you a bracha that you should be very successful, but you should always do good things. Hopefully, you'll do other good things soon because this will come to a decisive end. And there'll still be needs, but different needs, B'ezrat Hashem. And we should only have peace and good things and bracha for everyone.
Right, Rabbi. The thing that I appreciate, the one thing that I've noticed, people have been saying, thank you so much for doing this. I said, no, fine. I'm doing it only because other people are helping me. They said, but you don't understand. We're all overwhelmed by what's happening, and if we can send you $20, $50, and you go and buy a tourniquet, you've saved a life, and you've given us an opportunity to
For
be able to
sure.
do that.
Yeah, giving
So
is the
that.
best way of receiving.
Amen. Rabbi, thank you. So beautiful to speak to you. And may your podcast and everything that you do have a lot of hatzlacha and bracha in each and every way. And I'm so
Amen. Thank
happy to be connected with Rabbi Aloy, who was a tzaddik and most beautiful human being. And to
you.
me, to be speaking to his grandson now.
Beautiful, beautiful.
All
Thank you
right,
so
Rabbi.
much, and thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.